Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
Why are we so down with this game?
Team USA with the win. America beat Ghana last night in their first World Cup game.
Do we know where Ghana is?
Fighting for Idaho.
USA now plays Portugal on June 22nd.
I'd rather see touchdown or a NASCAR guy taking a bunch of left turns.
Fighting for you.
Hey, you remember this from the last World Cup? Was that the Vavazuzu or whatever? Remember that? Remember we used to play that all the time? Like incessantly? You can relieve yourself of the guilt of not liking soccer right here.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning. One of our favorite people with us, our friend Mike Tracy, to talk politics, and we had the chairman of the state Republican Party, Barry Peterson, on last hour. He is still the chairman, according to the Rules Committee, according to Barry Peterson. And Barry, I know you're listening, so thank you for keeping it here. Mike, good to have you with us at 580 KIDO.
Thanks, Kevin. It's always good to be here.
So, for people that may be drinking the World Cup Kool-Aid, that are ready to go to the lake this weekend, why is the shenanigans, the debacle that was the Moscow Convention, important to average ordinary folks in Idaho?
Well, I think that state party politics have always been important in terms of fundraising and supporting candidates and energizing the base, that kind of thing. But in the last few years, we haven't seen that as much because the party has not been raising as much money. There hasn't been as much. There hasn't been that unity that we've seen in the state party in the last few years. It's really been fragmented. And for the years and years that I worked as a precinct committeeman and a legislative district chair in Southeast Boise, we had our differences, but we seemed to have at least some semblance of unity, and we haven't had that for the last few years. What I think for the average Idahoan and for people who are going to be looking at campaigns and elections between now and November is, rather than put money into the state party apparatus, they're going to do what they've been doing the last few years. They're going to put money into the candidates themselves. If they support a candidate, they're going to put the money in there. And that's what's been going on for the last few years. And I hear that from a lot of the rank and file members of the Republican Party that I talk to on a daily basis. The party apparatus is, and the party itself has lost a lot of credibility. Right now the RNC is not, there's going to be a RNC convention coming up in August, and the RNC has said that they're going to recognize two of the three people in Idaho that we normally have. They're going to recognize the national committeeman, Damon Watkins, the national committee woman, Cindy Sidaway, and they're looking at Idaho as having the chairmanship at this point vacant. And that's their stance right now. And
what about the comments of the Rules Committee last night that because of the adjournment of the convention, and people understood that everything would stay in place, no new platform, no new chairman, no election.
Yeah, and the attorneys that have looked at this, Jason Risch,
you have
and
Jason Risch that disagrees. Yes.
Yeah, and the parliamentarian that they tap into frequently. Out of Washington, D.C., these folks are saying no. And the night before, on Wednesday night, the State Central Committee's Executive Committee said Barry was not the chairman.
Right, but on the other hand, you have, at the convention, you have the chairman of the convention, Congressman Labrador, that adjourned the convention under his understanding, and I think the buck stops with the chairman of that convention, and people disagree with me on that everything would be set in place the way it is. One parliamentarian agreed with him. The other, Senator Hill, I believe, did not.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to that. I was not at the convention.
Neither was I. I'm just reading the published reports.
I've been reading reports. I've been talking to people who were there. And there's a strong disagreement on that, whether that adjournment actually meant that things were going to stay in place. you know, according to, you know, looking at the rules and evaluating the rules of the state party and Robert's Rules of Order and all the other things that the parliamentarians and the attorneys have looked at. Now, I know Chris Troupas has said something completely different,
right.
You know?
I think what it comes down to, Mike Tracy with us here at 580 KIDO, Mike, I think it really comes down to, and let's not use the term war, but there is a contested battle. You have the establishment and you have the grassroots. And you saw a lot of folks that were affiliated with the grassroots pretty much wiped out at the Ada County meeting. Then you had Barry and the Credentials Committee having a problem with that, so wiping those folks out. Then you had the jeers at the convention. Is this any way to run a party?
No, and I think one of the things, too, that you have to look at is, you know, I still consider myself part of the grassroots. I've always been a part of the grassroots of the Republican Party, and I think a lot of this division, or, you know, calling it grassroots versus establishment, Tea Party versus establishment, I think that does a real disservice to people, because these same individuals existed 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah. You know, and I hear that with all due respect, from the establishment folks when they go, how dare you say I'm not a conservative? Well, I think it comes down to various issues. Common Core. I think it comes down to the health exchange. You have people that grassroots folks think this way, for lack of a better term, and I don't really want to use the term Tea Party. I think that's overused. And then you have other folks that view it this way. Nobody likes to be called the establishment.
Right. I agree with you. And I don't particularly like the health exchange, and I don't like Common Core. And, you know, I have disagreements. I don't agree on policy issues with leadership at all times. And we have strong disagreement in the Idaho legislature on these issues. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of people in both camps that have problems with issues like Common Core and the health exchange. I have no love for the health exchange at all. Anything dealing with Obamacare is to me has just seemed problematic. And having the government take over health care when they can't even run veterans health care properly, why should we turn the rest of our health care system over to them?
Mike Tracy, though, you have advised in campaigns, you've run campaigns. You've worked at the highest levels of our government. If you were brought in as the mediator with respect to both sides, is there a solution that's out there that either side hasn't really figured out yet?
Well, I think one of the things that's going to happen here, since there seems to be strong disagreement with all these meetings they've had in the state convention, the Central Committee they've called a meeting for the Central Committee to have a vote. And Barry very well could win that election. I think it's going to be on August 2nd. And it's going to be a vote of the Central Committee itself, not the delegates of the convention, and which is within the rules. And the Central Committee is made up of county chairman. It's made up of the regional chairman and the executive committee. And, you know, there could be a whole new slate of officers. The same officers could stay in place. I think that would settle the issue for most people, and they'd say, fine, okay, we've had a legitimate election. That's the thing I think that a lot of people are looking at right now, is they don't feel like what happened up at the state convention was any kind of a legitimate election. There was no real vote. There was an adjournment, and an adjournment that, to me, an adjournment without a vote to elect anybody is not a real election. So,
well, at 580 KIDO, with all due respect to everybody here, Mike Tracy, Kevin Miller, you weren't there, I wasn't there. From what we've heard, Congressman Labrador didn't have a choice. I've already been ripped by Tea Party Bob for suggesting the buck stops with the chairman there. So, again, we're at a disadvantage. We weren't there. Lots of yelling, jeering, and screaming going on, like the bunkhouse stampede. So what, did they have any choice, do you think?
Here's the thing. If they have a vote with the state central committee on August 2nd, and, you know, the officers are elected, I think that can solve the issue. What it comes down to is if the RNC doesn't recognize our chairman, we have a slot not filled for the state of Idaho at the national level, and you know, that's only problematic in, you know, in the party political apparatus.
Sure,
but it's still frustrating to not have a chairman who's in place, you know, and recognized by everyone. And it's very, I don't know, it's just very divisive, and it's you know, it's frustrating to watch.
Speaking of watching, what's the role of Governor Otter in all this? He's been at the ranch in Star. He was at the Western Governors Association a couple weeks ago, talking about the lands issue. What's his role in all this? Because again, I sit here and on one side I say, the governor won, and with the victor go the spoils. And then on the other hand, you have Congressman Labrador saying that his language, the governor's language, needs to be more amenable to the grassroots, for lack of a better term. And those are published in the paper. And I'm thinking, well, Mike, who's right on this one? I mean, does the governor need to adopt the language of, quote unquote, the grassroots to get along? Or should the grassroots go, it's either the governor or A.J. Blukoff, it's either a Democrat or a Republican?
I don't think anyone's completely right, 100% right. I think there's,
That's why we have you here.
I wish I had all the answers, but I think what we're looking at is there's right and wrong on both sides. There's got to be a middle ground, and you know, I'm trying to mediate this is going to be really challenging. I mean, this has been going on now for 5 or 6 years,
right?
And this struggle has been going on, and you know, part of it is emanated from, you know, when my old boss left office, Larry Craig. Larry was one of those people that was part of the glue that held the state together, the Republican Party together. I mean, all of the different factions really supported him, respected him, and you know, it seems like ever since he has left office, we've seen some of this dissolve and some of this breakdown. And when the governor did not have his person in place as the state party chair, when we started to see things devolve.
Right, and that is unusual. We'll talk more with Mike Tracy next. We'll talk about Senator Fulcher's future, Congressman Labrador's attempt to be majority leader, what Congressman Simpson's up to. 717, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The meltdown that happened.
Both factions were fighting over control, really, of the convention.
It really erupted.
A lot of people were yelling at the delegates. They were yelling at Labrador. There was a lot of jeering. You had booing on one side. You had cheering and clapping on the other.
We've probably all been to family reunions that didn't end up like we had hoped.
The only vote that they were able to actually complete was on throwing people out.
580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Mike Tracy with us, political analyst, political consultant, political operative, just all things politics.
Good to be here, Kevin.
So let's take a look at history being made, at least this week. Congressman Labrador's attempt to become majority leader. Tough call. You that have worked in Congress, you understand that, hey, let's face it, that Deputy Whip, he's the guy that actually counts the votes. Your review of the Labrador campaign in this effort, what do you think?
Well, you know, he hasn't been there that long. He didn't have the chance to build that base that you need to build. You know, when I've seen people in leadership, well, Mike Simpson's in leadership. He's in a strong sense. He is a subcommittee chair in the powerful Appropriations Committee, and he worked his way up to that position. He got on the Appropriations Committee and eventually became chairman of one of the subcommittees. Very powerful position, but it takes time to do that. You don't go in and generally take over a leadership position in one or two terms. It just doesn't happen. And if it does, it's more of a fluke than anything else. I think people were surprised with what happened with Eric Cantor. You know, he kind of came in on the as a Tea Party guy and was kind of knocked out by a Tea Party person, according to some of the reports I've read. And so, I mean, that was a big surprise. But McCarthy had plenty of time to develop this, and he obviously is a very good vote counter. And when you're in the political business and you're running for anything or trying to pass legislation, making sure you really know when somebody tells you yes they're with you or no they're not with you, you need to know that. I mean, you need to really understand and be able to count on those votes. And some people, you know, like McCarthy, you know, he's obviously been doing it for a while. But there's nothing wrong with Labrador running for a leadership position.
Except nobody else. But realistically, everybody looked at their chances and said, "I'm not doing it." He even said he couldn't get anybody to do it. Otherwise, he would have supported, what is it, Congressman Jordan of Ohio, I believe.
Yeah, there were two or three people that I think that he talked to, I think a lot of the conservatives in the caucus wanted somebody to run, and they wanted him to run, and he threw his hat in the ring. Nothing wrong with that. Whether it was a realistic chance or not, it didn't sound very realistic, and it didn't turn out that he could. He actually did lose, and so it wasn't a realistic chance, but. Nothing wrong with throwing your hat in the ring. I see Harley Brown's thing here. Harley throws his hat in the ring all the time, and people
right.
know.
But he's not. I'm with you, Mike Tracy, at 580 KIDO. It's fascinating, and tapping into your political wisdom here, though. Look, great political move, glowing stories above the fold, glowing stories from the press here. Maybe the issue I have is I don't think that he had any objective media looking at his chances realistically, besides the Washington Examiner, that said they were looking for phone numbers of these guys. So in reality, it wasn't realistic. Also in the reality, the base doesn't care because he's standing up for them.
Right. I mean, he, as far as the media coverage, I mean, I think there was just interest that he was running. I mean, I remember
when... Well, let's go back to your newsroom days. Shouldn't somebody have said, well, how realistic is it?
I certainly would have asked that question, yeah. and I would have contacted people in Washington, D.C. if possible, and I would have talked to other members of the delegation. I think, you know, that would have been very reasonable, very reasonable thing to do. But I remember when Frank Church, I was starting to do news in 1976 when Frank Church ran against Jimmy Carter in the primary.
Right.
And most people didn't think he had much of a chance, but he went ahead and did it anyway. It was a real long shot, but those kinds of things happen all the time. People throw their hat in the ring and don't really have a realistic chance. I think you're right, though. I think the coverage here was a little bit overrated in terms of, you know, hey, he's running, isn't this a great thing? Do you have any chance? Do you think there's a real chance to win? So I really do think that there should have been a little bit more pressing to find people that were going to say, no, you don't really have a chance.
Well, Mike Tracy, this is where we go inside. However, that you're not going to get anywhere else in the country, let's have you switch on your other hat as an operative. It's a boondoggle for him because, hey, great media coverage. His brand is extended. Whether he does anything in Congress or not is irrelevant. His brand is thriving right now.
Yeah, it's certainly his name ID and his brand is much more well known in Idaho now, much farther beyond the first congressional district where he serves on a statewide basis and even on a larger basis on a national basis. Outside of Idaho, it's not as big a deal, but in Idaho, his brand has definitely gone up, and it's all about name ID and people look at him as a very conservative and a very popular congressman.
Well, would you be surprised at 580 KIDO to see him go for higher office in 2 years or in 4 years?
I would not be surprised to see him run for any higher office, so whether it would be U.S. Senate or run for governor. I would not be surprised with either one of those. I'm not sure that he likes being in Washington, D.C. all that much. I haven't talked to him about that specifically, but
right.
I get the sense that, you know, he'd rather be back here in Idaho. And so I could very easily see him running for governor in 4 years.
Our final thought, Senator Fulcher, what's next for him?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Russ may be in the mix.
That'd be a good primary, wouldn't it?
For
Brad Little, Russ Fulcher, and Raul Labrador.
That would make for an interesting primary. It would be a real battle,
yeah.
And it would be a very, very difficult. It would really
Harley Brown, Walt from Emmett.
It would be amazing, and to watch a debate with those guys would be something to behold.
Mike Tracy, 20 seconds left. Anything we should be looking out for in the lazy, hazy days of summer?
Well, I think between now and November, I think Republicans in general will come together, and we'll see. Some real unity in terms of the way the vote goes in November. I don't think there's going to be, other than this special central committee meeting that's going to happen in August, I don't think you don't see a lot in politics during the summer months. It really picks up again around Labor Day. But I think Republicans, they come home when it comes election time, and I think that's what you'll see in November.
Mike, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Get off your butts and run for these offices and take control of the electoral process so that we can get this country back. That's what we've got to do.
Don't be afraid to take a chance. Don't be afraid to stick your neck out there and try something you wouldn't normally do.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller. 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. 580 KIDO. Let's go to Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio, with the very latest about what happened yesterday with the wacky, zany leadership race. Rachel, good to have you back.
Hey, good to be here, Kevin.
You know, 2 days in a row, that's got to be a record for this program.
Well, I'm honored.
Well, I tell you, how crazy was I? I was sitting there watching the stream from C-SPAN to see how the majority leader race went, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're probably there right there covering it as it's happening, and I'm sitting here watching it on the stream. But I guess there were no surprises with McCarthy over Labrador.
Not really, no. We were expecting Kevin McCarthy to win out of California there. He was the current whip, so it kind of is that when one leadership member moves out, usually it just sort of move up. And so that was expected, of course. As you know, Raul Labrador did give it a go, and he was making the argument basically that Virginians sent the message that they wanted GOP leadership out when they ousted Eric Cantor. But apparently the members disagreed. It's really interesting being there yesterday because it was, of course, standing room only right outside the door where the lawmakers had gone in to vote, and they were using paper ballots. So they were doing it the old-fashioned way, and they counted them, and they came out and gave the results. So, but we won't know how they voted. All these ballots were secret.
That's the funniest thing, though, at 580 KIDO, is you have the Republican operative. She didn't announce the total, just one sentence. And it really, you wonder, who do you believe? Did McCarthy have overwhelming support? Did the Congressman Labrador, have a strong showing, perhaps too strong, if you will? Rachel, the reason why this is important, because that shows whether or not leadership has the endorsement of the rank and file Republicans.
But it's a good question, and one that will probably remain unanswered because this was a secret ballot. Now, one thing to note here is that even though Kevin McCarthy, who's seen as more establishment, was elected as majority leader, you have Steve Scalise of Louisiana, who is now the new majority whip. Now, he is perceived as more conservative, and certainly Tea Partiers would look on him a little more favorably. So a win for the establishment, perhaps, with Kevin McCarthy, but Steve Scalise is possibly seen as more of a victory for Tea Partiers.
So a split decision. McCarthy was going to be tough to beat. What's the fallout from Congressman Labrador's run besides a lot of exposure for him? Does this help him in the House, or could this hurt him with the decision makers?
Maybe a little of both. I mean, it certainly has raised Labrador's profile. I think a lot of people outside Idaho just didn't really know who he was in particular. I mean, obviously on Capitol Hill they did, but he took to some of the TV shows, and I think as far as the public is concerned, we now know more about who Raul Labrador is. How it'll affect him in the halls of Congress is something that there's still a question mark over that.
He could be like the new, and I mean this as a compliment, Michelle Bachmann, where he could become the leader of the opposition, the unofficial yet official, when the press want to go to someone, if they, you know, people want the view of the Tea Party or conservative folks on Capitol Hill.
Well, and he certainly wasn't mincing any words when he was speaking to reporters. He was very clear that another voice needed to be heard within the leadership. In this case, it won't be him. It might be Steve Scalise, but it just won't be Raul Labrador.
Of course, he wasn't speaking yesterday to the press.
No, he didn't have a lot to say. The new leadership came out and spoke to the kind of the stakeout there, and they had some things to say. Kevin McCarthy said that he would work every day to bring the party together, work to move forward. And so he seems serious about his job. Speaker Boehner also coming out to congratulate the new leadership, and I think that they're all just going to look to kind of get on the same page together and move forward from here.
Well, you know, Rachel, not to destroy the narrative that this is a another edition of Captain Planet here at 580 KIDO, but is this a precursor to the election for the speakership in January? Could Boehner be in trouble? Could the folks not have a pleasurable view of Mr. McCarthy and oust him out? I mean, could the conservatives just be, as they say up there in Washington, keeping their powder dry?
Well, it makes you wonder how long these chairs are going to be warm, for sure. But John Boehner is—he's pretty much just a pillar. I don't see him really losing his position. But then again, we didn't see Eric Cantor's situation either. So there's never a dull moment, that's for sure, on Capitol Hill and watching what goes on there.
What's next for Eric Cantor? Anything?
Well, Eric Cantor will remain majority leader officially until July 31st, and that's when he's going to step down. He'll pass the torch on to Kevin McCarthy. Beyond that, he has said that he's working and talking with his wife about what their next steps are. I mean, he could easily just jump on over to K Street here in Washington and get a job. I don't think he's worried about that. But it's more a matter of what he'll do with the next several years of his life. He did say on election night when he lost that he would continue to fight for conservative causes. So how he'll do that remains to be seen.
Rachel, any differences here at 580 KIDO between Cantor and McCarthy that may help or hurt conservatives?
That's a good question. Now, the differences would be that, both are perceived as conservative, but Kevin McCarthy will have to wait and see how his views evolve. Now, Eric Cantor was not pleasing everybody when it came to particularly the issue of immigration. And part of the reason is speculated that he was voted out in Virginia is because the more conservative end of the party didn't like the fact that he was willing to work with different viewpoints when it came to immigration reform. So he was booted. We'll see what kind of situation Kevin McCarthy has. Now, with Steve Scalise in the whip position, part of his job is to kind of rally everybody together and get everybody on the same page. So given that he's more conservative, maybe there is a chance for Republicans to unite a little more with more voices within the leadership.
Rachel Sutherland joining us, Fox News Radio, 580 KIDO. Rachel, final question. Even though he lost, could Congressman Labrador be the real winner in this?
Well, I guess that it depends on what Labrador thinks. he certainly, his profile has been raised, and people know who he is outside of Capitol Hill and outside of Idaho now. Certainly, he could use that as a springboard to raise his profile even more. And we'll keep an eye on him. We'll keep an eye on him and see what he has to say and what he's up to.
Rachel Sutherland, outstanding. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, you're listening to 580 KIDO. Let's go to Pro Life with Kevin Miller. Hello, Pro Life.
Hello. Hey, you know.
What? Were you not paying attention? Wake up! Time to start the day.
No, I have a speakerphone. But anyway, I think what needs to happen and. I'm proposing this, but I'm not even a Republican. I'm saying that the Idaho Republican Party needs to split, have two parties, the conservatives and the rhinos, you know, the regular guys. And there was talk about it about 15, 20 years ago, and it never happened. They just kind of kept it secret, but it was pretty serious back then. And so I think that now is the time. It would split it up about...
Maybe. You're saying it's time to split up the Republican Party.
Yeah, they could call it the Idaho Party.
Come on, that's not really realistic.
No, why not?
It's not going to happen.
No, it probably isn't going to happen, but it's the right thing to do.
Why?
Well, because then there would be the Idaho Party, say, they would have real power. They could maybe be 35% of the total thing, and the other two would be 30 and 25.
So you want to elect the libs.
No, the libs couldn't get elected because there would be a coalition of...
Well, they can't get along now. Why would they get along if they were separate parties?
Well, they'd get along within their party.
Right, but 30% is not going to get you elected.
Yeah, 30. Well, if it's evenly divided up, 34%, 33, and 33, well, then there you go.
Who are you, running for state school superintendent now?
No, I'm not at all. All I'm saying is that people need to get it with their own people.
Then you wouldn't have the majority of the people making the decision. It would be a strong minority, I guess.
Right. What do they call that? A plurality.
Exactly. We don't need that in America.
We don't?
You can go over to foreign countries and hang with the foreigners for that.
Well, hey, I'm a plurality of myself and whoever else, you know.
Yeah, you know, by the way, people at 580KID, the last time we had the governor in, pro-life's in here hanging out with Walt from Emmett.
Right.
And I always go, well, you don't call him a wimp to his face, so you call him a wimp to his face.
Yeah, I did.
Why did you do that? Why'd you listen to me?
Well, because it's true.
Oh, brother.
All the Republicans are wimps, except there are some of them that aren't, and they can't get anywhere.
All right, let me go over the list real quick.
Yeah?
Mike Simpson.
Yeah, he's a big wimp.
Let's see. Senator Crapo.
Yeah, he's a big wimp.
Senator Risch.
They're all wimps.
Hold on. Let's see if you're going to go all the way on this. Congressman Labrador.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, because I was at a press conference and...
Oh, that's right. You were the only one that asked him a tough question.
I asked him, yeah, when is it time to impeach the president? He says it's not ready yet. I mean, if he was for impeaching the president, then he would be really getting somewhere. But he's not going to go public and say that, even though he really believes that. And so I'm saying he's a wimp. And they're all wimps.
What do they say about you?
Well, they probably think that I'm just... Well, maybe they think I'm a Christian missionary disguised as a politician.
Or they could think you're a kook.
Yeah, they could. But they'd be wrong. They're definitely wrong.
Pro-life, always a pleasure.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you. Great speaking with our friend Pro-Life. 749, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:55, 6:54, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, famous author, famous NASA scientist, Homer Hickam will join us from Huntsville, Alabama, one of the places that I used to work at. In fact, that's the place where, I didn't get my start, but Sean Hannity did some time there, and I did as well. So it'll be interesting to hear what's next for us in the space industry and whether or not America has forgotten its space roots. But... if you're looking for something entertaining, we always urge you to go to the Kevin Miller Hot List. This one's pretty good. You have the cosmetically appealing Megyn Kelly on it, where the headline is Megyn Smacks Cheney. And in it, there's a movie trailer for something that is promising to get a lot of buzz. I don't know if it's good buzz or bad buzz, but for the sake of entertainment purposes only, let us share this trailer with you. The movie is called Dear White People. That's right, Dear White People. Now, before we get to that, I'd be negligent if we didn't give you a chance to win tickets to West Side Story from the Music Theater of Idaho, caller 10 and caller 12 at 580-5436. 580-5436 will win tickets, a family four-pack, to the West Side Story production at the Music Theater of Idaho.
This fall, in the tradition of The Help, The Blind Side, and The Butler, comes a new film.
How come the only black movies Hollywood wants to make are ones with black mammies in fat suits? Yeah.
Or black women in pain, man?
So basically, we got black people dying in the past, mm-hmm, and black people dying in the present.
Can we have a movie with, you know, characters in them instead of stereotypes wrapped in Christian dogma?
Why is every educated person inherently evil?
Most people are here to see Fang 9. It's got two chains in it.
Oh, man! I read your entire 15-page unsolicited treatise on why the Gremlins is actually about suburban white fear of black culture.
The Gremlins are loud, talk in slang, are addicted to fried chicken, and freak out when you get their hair wet.
Hey, And there we have it, a satire for the Obama age. Dear white people, we'll see how that plays and whether or not it's humor, satire, you name it. But you heard it here first at 580KIDO. It's unfortunate that we can only make fun of folks certain ways and we have limits on our racial discourse. It hurts. It's funny. There was a talk show host in Chicago that just got the boot for saying the N-word and the S-word and the C-word and all these words. And first of all, you have to be stupid to even go close to those things in the politically correct world we live in. And number two, the idea that expression can be offensive to one side and not the other is darn right hypocritical, which undermines the whole idea of racial equality. Whew, enough of that. Let's get you to traffic at 580. Jim, thank you very much. Is it time to go back to space? Why we have given up on something that is truly American, truly something that we own. You remember Earth to the Moon. You remember Sputnik. Well, we weren't really responsible for Sputnik, but Skylab. Skylab was good until it fell. Anyway, Homer Hickam will join us coming up next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Keep it here. Fox News. Stay informed, and we'll talk about it next.